Hey, there is a sermon outline in your bulletin today. What's the title of today's message? Hey, day. All y'all got the same bulletin. Same bulletin. You don't tell me where this sermon going today after all of that. All right, we've been doing our series on IWC, I Was Changed, Christ the Truth Transformer, and today is the last in a series of message, and we will be looking at transforming our attitudes toward money. We're going to begin with another one of us using our talents, Chris Webb. I'm sure you will recognize him as we look at this video clip together.
Praise him. Come on in here. Open your mouth. Bless the Lord.
Praise. Let all that go and start a new beginning. No more cussing. No more fighting. Drop the hate and the addiction. I need increase of the... Don't even worry about it. I'll come over to your house and I'll paint the whole thing and the basement for free.
Oh, thank you, thank you, dear. Thank you.
Thank you, God.
Things are going wrong. Praise Him. Come on. That's the light. He's working. Come on in here. For my life.
For my life.
I will.
Hungry.
Yes. That looks good. Oh, I forgot. I'm broke. Man, I'm so hungry. God, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I want this food, but I don't have the money. God, please, you just bless me with something, some form of money or some food. I'm just so hungry. I don't know what to do. Please.
Hi, sir. The waitress told me I have lose your money, and I told the boss, and the boss really like you, and he's giving you this box of donuts for free.
Really? For free?
Yes.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Have a nice day.
Thank you, God. Thank you. Oh, my God. Oh, thank you, Lord. I serve a mighty God. What a mighty God I serve.
Oh, sir, can I have one of these good donuts?
Whoa. Are you crazy? Are you crazy? You better go with my donut. I wanted to give her donuts. I mean, you know, she seemed like a nice lady, but, you know, you blessed me with these donuts. This is my possession, and I have to guard it, you know? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Oh, my God. Oh, man. Donuts. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve.
Hi, sir. Can I have one of them donuts?
Can you have one? Yeah, have a seat. Come on. God has blessed me, and I just want to be a blessing to others. Yeah. Take four, and you can take a half. Good donuts.
Yes, they are.
That portion of scripture in the clip comes from 2 Corinthians 8:7. It says, "But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving." How many of you have ever prayed, "Lord, let me excel in this grace of giving"? Not too many of y'all. Well, let's pray it right now. Lord, let me excel in this grace of giving. All right. Now, have you ever heard or been challenged by something that you heard somebody else say about giving that moved you to want to do something different? I can remember when Pastor Toby and I were in seminary, and man, in seminary, you are usually broke. And we got a job as house parents, and we were going to be working full time, and we were going to each make $8,000 a year. We thought we was rich. Oh my goodness, a salary of $16,000? Plus we went to a Presbyterian church who they didn't tithe, and when we tithed off of $16,000, they thought we was rich too. It seemed as though, compared to what we had been making, that everything had just fallen into place. Now, Pastor Toby, both of us were tithers before we met each other. And I can remember after we had gotten this job, one day I was listening to the TV, and Dr. James Kennedy was preaching a message on forgiving. And I heard him say, "I thank God that I have gotten to the place where what I first made in my first full-time job, I could give as a as my tithe to the church." And I was thinking, I was like, wow, man, I want to do that too. And I thought, $16,000? That means we'll be making how much? $160,000 a year. Well, I can tell you this. We never have got to $160,000 a year, but for the past few years, we've passed the $16,000 mark in our giving. What happened was a transformation in our attitudes toward money. And giving to the kingdom of God has been one of the best decisions we have ever made. Why? Because God has blessed us in ways that we could not have imagined. Just the fact that all of you are here this morning is a tremendous blessing in our lives. Now, I want you to know that God is not opposed to you having money. Tell your neighbor, God's not opposed to it. And Pastor Rick is not opposed to you having a lot of money. God even has a plan for you to receive more money than you deserve. Now, just like in those clips, those donuts showed up completely undeserved. God has blessings that he wants to pour into our lives that are completely undeserved. Now, in our Old Testament passage, we saw that God is willing to bless everything around us. But there are some requirements, say requirements, requirements that God asks us in return. God asks for our obedience. And we will not obey God if we do not trust God. Say that. We will not obey God if we do not trust God. Now think of all the big things we trust God for. We trust God to keep earthquakes out of Cleveland. When we build our homes, we don't try to build them like they do in California. We assume that God is going to take care of the earthquakes. We trust God to keep the sun shining through our lifetime. When you're watching the nature channels and they say, in 12 billion years, the sun is going to go out. Not too many of us lose sleep over the fact that it might go out. We just trust God is going to be here for the next 70 or 80 years, and we got it made. We trust God not to suspend the law of gravity, because if he did, all the oxygen and the atmosphere would escape. None of us are going around buying up all the oxygen bottles we possibly can just in case God suspends the law of gravity. We trust God to watch over our children. We trust God to keep these bodies working. We trust God when we out there on the road driving. Some of us need to be trusting God because we know what kind of drivers we are. But there are drunk drivers out there on the road. There's folks texting out there on the road. There's folks yelling at people on their phone out there on the road. And if God wasn't watching over us, we could be there with him sooner than we thought. We even boast to others that we trust God for our salvation, and we know we don't deserve to be saved based on our past record. Amen? Some of us based on our current record. Amen? Now, we testify that God is good, what? And all the time? We swear, oh, we serve an awesome God. We say how great thou art, and just in case you didn't hear us, we sing it a second time in the chorus. How great thou art. Yet. Say yet.
Yes.
Yet. When it comes to possessions and money, we are not so sure that God can replace back what we give to him. Now, God has a simple plan for financial increase. God says, if you give me back 10% of what I give to you, I promise, I will increase that 90% that you have so that you won't even know it was gone. Trust me on this. I will have your back. Now, this is the only place in Scripture where God says, test me, try me, put me on the spot. Give me a chance to prove myself. I'm only asking for 10% of what you have. Yet most Christians are saying to God, God, I really don't believe you can do that. Or I don't believe you can do this for me. Now, one day we're all going to stand before God, and God is going to ask us about our giving. And you're going to say, you know, God, if only I had known. God's going to say, push the rewind button. You're going to see me standing up here. Then I have the other camera on you as I'm preaching. And God is going to say, now, why didn't you trust me on this? Is it because you believed I was lying? Is it because you believed I was unwilling? Is it because you believe I was not loving and gracious with my offer? Some of us are going to say, is there another option available? Our attitude towards our money influences the way we think about God. And when Jesus is on the inside of us, our love for God will influence our attitude toward our money. Now, we've been pastors here for 20 plus years. I mean, you know, you get to see a lot in 20 plus years. We have watched you in your attitude toward giving. Some of you, when you had little, you gave nothing. God has blessed you with a salary that many in the congregation would love to have. And you know what? You still give little of nothing. But you do spend well on yourself. You look good every Sunday. Probably Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday too. And definitely on Saturday. Some of you, you had little and you tithed on little. God has blessed you with more and you tithe on that more. You have seen God bless you with things that you didn't even think would come to pass, but they did. Some of you, you believe inflation is stuck right where it was back in 1962. You have not increased your giving at all. And you wonder why I don't never seem to get no blessing. Others of you are eager to give 10% of everything that comes into your hand, no matter what form or fashion we got. We got two members. The moment they get some money, they head to the church. And they say, here is my 10%. Because I don't trust it in my pocket. I want to give it now while it is right here. More of us need to adopt that position. Guilty, he says out there. They aren't waiting to be blessed. They're being a blessing to the kingdom of God already. Now, we all have to answer the question, Do we really want to be transformed by Jesus Christ in our giving? And before you say yes, realize it might cost you more than you think it will. But if you answer no, sit down, Pastor Rick, I don't want to hear no more, then you are choosing to cut short your ability to be used by God and your own spiritual growth. How many of you know there is no such thing as a partial lordship to Jesus Christ? Suppose you were getting ready to get married, and there you were looking super good, and the minister asked the question, and instead of saying, "I do," that person whose eyes you are looking into say, "I do, except for Friday nights." How many of y'all are happy that 6 nights you know where they're going to be? Nobody. How many of you got to say, "What did you say?" That's exactly because we understand commitment is all, or you really aren't committed. How many of you know it is a privilege to be in a place to be able to choose whether or not to give? Because it means you got something that somebody else doesn't have. Now, we ask you to give at Glenville, and we do so unashamedly for 3 reasons. 1, God requires it. 2, we need to do it. 3, the kingdom of God uses money to operate. There is not a verse anywhere in the Bible that says, give if you feel like doing it. How many of you know there are sometimes folks never get around to feel it? God don't care nothing about your feel. He just said do it. There's also not a verse in the Bible that says, God knows my heart. Yes, God does know your heart. Next question. What does the Bible say? God says, bring in the tithes and offerings. God says, give and it will be given back to you. God says, let those who are rich be eager to share. God says, set aside some money on the first day of the week. God says, if you give generously, you will reap generously. God requires an active role on our part. The more we become like Christ, the more generous we become in our giving. And the Word of God always emphasizes percentage giving, not amount. You see, all of us cannot give the same amount. But all of us can give the same percentage. Jesus asked us to move beyond thinking about money and possessions to the point of laying down our lives for one another. How many of you know, if I will not lay down my pocketbook for you, I am not about to take a bullet for you. Hold on 1 minute. Let me go get Gerald. We are not going to get there if we can't deal right where we are. And remember, God never asks us to give what we don't have. You know, if your pocket is 000, God says give 10% of it. And how much is that? 0. So you ain't got to feel bad. God doesn't leave us feeling condemned. Now, if it's on 0 because you decked out in a $569 suit, well, we won't even discuss nothing like that because none of the people at Glenville would do anything like that. God is trying to bless us to give so that he can bless us. God says, stand right over there and hold your hands out so I can give you a blessing. We say, no, I want to stand over here. God says, but I want to bless you. Stand over here. God, you got to bless me over here. Get over there so I can say, I ain't going. You can do it right here where I'm at. And then you wonder why you got nothing. Why do we need to give? Because we learn our purpose on this planet is to love God and to love each other. And we cannot love without being givers. God so loved that God gave. If you are to love, then you are to give. And that giving includes our possessions, our time, and our talents. And God never asks us to give be above or beyond what we are able to do. Run into people all the time. If they won the lottery, here is what they would do. I can look at your offering statement and tell you what you would do. For some of you, what you would do is pack up your bags and we will never hear from you again. We have to put ourselves in a position to be blessed by God. That's why God says, again, God deals with percentage and not amount. Now, we may lock ourselves into things that we cannot afford, but it's up to us to get us out of those things we cannot afford so that we can be obedient with our faith and trust in God. Some people say, I can't afford to tithe. It's not that you can't afford to tithe. You can't afford the car you drive. You can't afford the lifestyle you want to live at. You can't afford the cable, the cell phone, the BlackBerry. I have not understood yet how I work full time and cannot afford a BlackBerry phone. And some of y'all ain't had a job in your entire life, and you got BlackBerries walking around with them. And not only a BlackBerry, you got another little side phone there on the side. Where do y'all get all this money from? Oh, I didn't buy this. My cousin's friend's neighbor, they let me have it. Yeah. Okay. Teenagers, young people, I'd like to give something, but I just don't have nothing to give. I just saw you coming from McDonald's with the biggest double cheeseburger that's been triple sized. But when we give to the Lord, we allow God to bless the work of our hands. The third reason we need to give is because the kingdom of God needs money to operate. You know, each month, Cleveland Public Power sends a bill here. Do you know what would happen if I wrote back and said, paid in full with the faith of the saints at Glenville New Life Community Church? Next Sunday when y'all get to church, you know what y'all gonna say? Pastor Rick, eh? Done turned the heat down, I mean the air conditioning down. He done turned off the lights. I don't know why I get blamed for every time y'all come in and it's cold and it's hot. That's the one time Pastor told me don't get blamed. I'm the one with the heat. I'm the one blamed because the air conditioner ain't working because Cleveland Public Power turned off the thing. I paid my tithe. Y'all didn't pay y'all tithe. That's why it's off. But some of y'all, ain't no air conditioning here. I'm going to Fairmont. Incidentally, I don't think they have air conditioning over there. The kingdom of God needs money to operate. I mean, you know, it costs money for you to be sitting in that chair right now. I don't see any of y'all saying, I ain't going to be using them chairs sitting on the floor. It costs money to feed children in Haiti and Nigeria. It costs money to keep our kids off the streets and headed for college. It costs money to broadcast the gospel on the internet. It was Jesus who said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations, teaching them, baptizing them. Don't you think he knew it was going to cost money? It costs money to have pastors dedicated to your growth in the Word of God and the ways of God. It costs money to have a loan in place so that when you really, really broke, you got somewhere to go and you're not paying 990% interest. It costs money to support and encourage one another in crisis. It costs money to do our prison ministry. It costs money to do prayer shawl ministry. It costs money to do all the wonderful ministries that come out of this church. It costs money to make a difference in the lives of others for the cause of Jesus Christ. And we have to decide if we're going to trust God with our money or not. We decide if we're going to be transformed or not. In our New Testament reading, we met a shrewd, wicked businessman. This man had the reputation and had made millions of dollars ripping off folk. His name was Zacchaeus. And yet, Zacchaeus, in one single encounter with Jesus Christ, changed his attitude toward money completely. He told Jesus, he said, "Lord, right now, I give half my goods to the poor." For the first time in his life, he quit seeing poor people as folks to be ripped off as someone that he could bless because of what God had given to him. And he said, out of the other half I got, I'm going to pay people back four times everybody that I cheated. I'll pay them back four times the amount. How many of you know revival broke out in Jerusalem that day? How many of you know when Zacchaeus said, "I'll be at church Sunday," that place was jam-packed. Folks just waiting. When is he going to start giving it up? Now imagine if that guy who had stole all that $50 billion had gone to jail for, 150 years, he'll probably be out in three. Suppose when he got caught, he had said, "I've been transformed by the power of Christ. And I'm going to tell y'all where I got y'all's $50 billion hid in bank accounts all over the globe. And I'm going to give it back to you." Don't you know somebody would have believed that the power of God is real? Amen. Now, when Zacchaeus did this, was he going to have less money for himself? Yes, he was. But he gained something far more than the money he had. He had truly become a child of God on his way to heaven. That money would have been crying out against him in hell. Instead, that money is now going to heaven, waiting for him to arrive. He is finding treasure in heaven. Now, some of you, you honestly think, when I finish paying off this car, then I'll be able to tithe. Do you realize, when you finish paying off that car, there will be other cars. Look better than the one you got. Got a few more fancy buttons. This one will even sing "How Great Thou Art" to you when you push the button on the left. You ain't buying this car for you. You buying it for God so that you can be ministered to as you drive. You need to decide now, do I really have to have a new car in the first place? Some of you are saying, "Amen, Pastor Rick, I hear everything you say. And as soon as I get a good job, I'm going to start giving to the Lord." How many of you know none of us are guaranteed a job tomorrow at today's pay rate? When I saw how much of a deficit we had last month, I said, "Well, maybe I better start pulling out the want ads myself." Amen. You know, it's never easy to downsize our standard of living. But how many of you know it is always possible? You see, sometimes we are forced to downsize because of a job loss, because of an illness, because of a divorce, because of some other circumstances. But you know something? When those things happen, we keep on living. You do not see a whole lot of people say, "Ah, I lost my job. I'm going to jump off this building. Well, maybe I'll think about jumping off. We start realizing it is not the end of the world. We start realizing that God is with me no matter what my income level is. We discover that possessions do not determine the amount of joy we have in life. You look at Michael Jackson. With all his millions, he wasn't no more happy than some of us that's almost striving from paycheck to paycheck each week. And if I said, which one of y'all want to trade places with him right now? There will be no takers. Because we see what the end was going to be. Sometimes we looking at folks and we admiring this and admiring that. Who if I had this and who if I had that? We done completely missed out on what we already got. It is a blessing to know contentment. And the choice to tithe is a choice to put myself, it's a spiritual decision, first of all, to downsize so that I can be obedient to God. It is also a choice to put myself in a position to be blessed by God in ways that I couldn't imagine. Jesus said, don't store up treasures for yourself on earth because they are not going to last. But store up treasures for yourselves in heaven, for where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So when you talk about, well, God knows my heart. Yeah, he says it's where your treasure is. So if you want to know what's really in your heart, find out where your money is. Now, think of all the things we have purchased with money that we should have tithed with that are now gone. That money is not doing us any more spiritual good. They just kept us from being, that stuff just kept us from being obedient to God. Now, all the possessions that we accumulate are eventually going to disappear. 20 years, Pastor Toby and I have been doing funerals. Most of the time, the coffin is right here. There has never been a little buggy right behind it saying, this is going with me. Now, how many of you will confess that you was a little bit like me when we said, go through your closets and find stuff and garage and bring it, and you came across something that you haven't used in a long time, and you grabbed it and put it back down, because one day you might need that. Denise looked like she guilty out there. There's one other me in the church. Pastor Toby too. I wasn't gonna call her name. I was gonna let the Spirit do it. Spirit did it for her. We set that thing back over. Now, here is the reality. Some of those things that we treasure, 2 days after the funeral is over, our kids are going to say, throw that thing in the trash can. That ain't even worth going to the Goodwill. And that stuff that we paid a whole lot of money for, they're going to say, we got to have a rummage sale to get rid of this junk. And they're going to put a $2 price tag on your little thing that you spent all that money on. You got to be in your coffin. Let me out. Let me out. You are going to be so mad. And that money that you got in the bank that you were saving for the rainy day, I'm up here preaching your funeral. They looking at their watch. How much longer is he going on? We got to get to the bank and get that money out and split it up. And that money that you took all them years to say, here go your part, your part, your part, your part. And what I'm going to take, they share, They going straight to the grocery store in the liquor department. I'm about to have me the party of a lifetime. Y'all come on over. All your hard-earned money that should have been in the kingdom of God is going to Jack Daniels, Sue Daniels, and Baby Daniels. And there you are standing before God. And God says, now explain to me why you broke in your kingdom account. Well, you know, God, one of these days I was planning on, you know, God, I hadn't counted on coming up here. Just last week I was planning on giving a big offering to the church. Amen. We need your help more than ever when it comes to giving. Now, I know financial times are hard, but how many of you know God's is God, and God's promises are not based on the economic condition of the United States? If you read the scriptures, it does not say if President Obama's stimulus package passes, then I will be able to bless you. Some of y'all thought it said that. Y'all got mighty quiet. We all need to look at ways in which we can start letting go of some things and bring our giving in line with what God requests. For those of us who are already at 10%, been there for years, why not go for 11%? Why not go for 12%? Just to see what God might do for you in return. You know, the scripture says, if God can trust you with a little, he can trust you with a lot. But if he can't trust you with a little, why in the world is he gonna trust you with a lot? Now, how many of y'all just wanna have a little for the rest of your life? Then how come we act like we just want to have a little for the rest of our lives? Now, the more we sow, the more we harvest. The more we give, the more of a return God sends us. Now, I was at the bank the other day, and I saw a sign for a CD, a certificate of deposit, that says, we will pay you 1.5% for a one-year CD. And I'm like, you mean to tell me if I give you $100, I can come back in a year and you'll give me back the $100 and $1.50 for letting you use it? And I'm supposed to feel good about it? Now, in Luke 6:38, Jesus says, give and it will be given you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. Now, I don't know how to translate that into actual dollars, but it sure sounds like a whole lot more than $1.50. Because even if you got 150 pennies, it wouldn't be running over in your lap. But then it all depends on who are we going to trust. Why not look at your next pay stub, your next check, your next allowance, and ask, how much am I really giving? Less than 1%, 2%, 3%, 8%, 10%, 12%? Then ask the question, Lord, if I truly allowed myself to be transformed by the love of Christ in my giving, what would you have me do? And then when you come back next week, why not see if you can move in that direction a little bit? Why not try moving 1%? Now, some of us, we so low on the scale, we need to move far more than 1%. We ought to be somewhat embarrassed. All of us, though, can do something. In our clip, it said, excel in speech, excel in love, excel in knowledge, but also excel in this gift of giving. Now, how many of you wanted to be like Chris number one, saying, this blessing was mine, and God, you gave it to me, and it is my desire to protect what you've given to me? How many of you would rather be like Chris number two? What? Sure, sit right down. God has blessed me so that I can be a blessing to each of you. Which one of you think going to have the biggest funeral? Chris number two is going to have a bigger funeral than Chris number one? The people are going to show up. He might have had the money to buy the big one, but ain't nobody going to be there. Your generosity is going to lead to a richer life. And the tithing plan is not just a financial plan. That's what I want you to see. God offers to bless our children. He offers to bless our relationships. He offers to bless us when we come home, bless us when we go out. He offers to remove those who are attempting to hurt us. He offers to bless the use of our talents. Those of you who tell me, oh, I want to sing and be a professional singer. You're going to need all the help you can get. I don't care how good you think you can sing. Because it ain't just about a matter of can you sing. You got to be in the right place at the right time with the right person listening to you so they can say, come on, let me take you right where the top. There's a lot of great singers you've never heard of, and you never will. Don't tell me there's an actor anywhere that can act any better than Chris Webb. There isn't. We just trying to get him to meet that right person at that right time so that we can retire. Make it so. God says, I will bless the work of your hands. Young people, what y'all use y'all's hands to do? Homework, schoolwork. God says, I'll bless the work of your hands. Start tithing and studying and see don't you get better grades. He said he would do it. Now, next time y'all come down in front and say, I want some prayer for my schoolwork, I'm going to say, you tithing? I'm going to have them go into all the rest of y'all for prayer before this thing is over with. He offers to make us a more holy people. He offers to heal our bodies and stop diseases before they even start. God says, keep my commandments and see what I would do. God desires to transform us into more giving individuals and a church. How many of us are willing to say, here I am, Lord. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you are my king. Money is not going to control me. You are. My money is going to be subject to your will. Now, some of you are scared to death at the thought of living off less. God can bless you in ways that you never imagined. That little raggedy car you've been driving, that thing gonna last 3 more years. You don't know why it's still running, but God does. You would be surprised at what kind of doors God will open if you just give him the chance. Saints, today is the day to start the transformation process in our giving. Amen.